אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Shalom Australia. So tributes have poured in for Australian Jewish community pioneer Izzy Leibler, who is 86, has passed away last week in Jerusalem. Hailed by his brother Mark as the gold standard of global Jewish leadership, he was a plain-talking leader, activist, and philanthropist, and he died after a short illness, leaving a gigantic footprint in the Jewish community and world affairs. In an interview during an Australian visit in 2010, he told the Jewish News that building bridges with Israel, to me, is the most critical ingredient in Jewish identity, and it's the one fact that still cements the Jewish people. He held many, many leadership positions in Australia and in Israel, which straddled the whole spectrum of Jewish communal organizations. Some of them, from 1972 to 1978, he was president of the Victorian Jewish Board of Deputies, and from 1978, he served 4 terms, the longest ever, as president of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. He also founded the Australian Institute of Jewish Affairs, and famously, he was one of the earliest activists for the liberation of Soviet Jewry, and he encouraged the then union leader, back in the 80s, Bob Hawke, who was, of course, to become Australian Prime Minister. He advocated with him for the release of the prisoners of Zion, who were Soviet Jews jailed for supporting Israel during a visit to Russia that he made. He made several visits to the USSR himself and met Jewish dissidents, and a group of 15 refuseniks travelled to Australia in 1988 to thank Bob Hawke and Leibler for gaining them their freedom. He was, of course, moved to Israel to make Aliyah in 1999, fulfilling his lifelong dream, where he continued his role as a commentator on Jewish affairs. So prior to that, in 1988, he also became vice president of the World Jewish Congress and later chairman of the governing board. And then in the mid-2000s, when he was once he's moved to Israel, he would leave his characteristically strident and indelible mark on the World Jewish Congress and the Claims Conference as a campaigner for good governments, exposing corruption. When the World Jewish Congress filed a lawsuit against him, which was later dropped, it was for making his allegations. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry actually threatened to withdraw from the World Jewish Congress because of that at the time. And of course, he was had a flourishing business career, and he in fact founded the Jet Set Tours Company, which became the largest travel network in the Southern Hemisphere at the time. Afrael Leibler recently took part in the Israeli launch of his biography called Lone Voice, The Wars of Izzy Leibler, authored by historian Professor Susan Rutland, who in the book noted that he's counted Australian Prime Ministers among his close friends and talked plainly to Israeli Prime Ministers, from Yitzhak Rabin to Benjamin Netanyahu, often telling them what they did not want to hear. He is survived by his wife, Naomi, and his large family, and he was recognized as a commander of the Order of the British Empire and an officer of the Order of Australia. There's been many, many tributes in the last few days alone. His brother, communal icon Mark Leibler, said Izzy was the gold standard of global Jewish leadership. He fought for the Jewish people relentlessly throughout his life, often against the current, and his positive impact across the world will be felt for generations. Izzy, of course, was first and foremost for me, my brother, and family was valued by him above all else. Describing Leibler, his uncle, as a true Gadol Hador, community giant, the Zionist Federation of Australia President Jeremy Leibler reflected that Izzy had a profound impact on both the Australian Jewish community and on the global Jewish world, and demonstrated that one individual can indeed change the world, and that is exactly what Izzy achieved in the role he played, especially in the fight to free Soviet Jewry. He was fearless and uncompromising his dedication to the Jewish people and the state of Israel. And there was many others also passed on their condolences and personal messages, including Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubinstein, Executive Council of Australia President Gillian Zagal. We even received as well, which was nice, a spokesperson for Israel's embassy, a comment that Liebler showed extraordinary resourcefulness in the fight for Jewish rights and made an invaluable contribution to the relations between Israel and the diaspora as well.
Izzy Liebler, Yehi Zichro Baruch. And you are listening to SBS Australian Jewish Update with Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the AJN. Shane, the legendary kosher caterer Esther Grunfeld passed away last week.
That's right, very sad. There was a comment from Shoshana Eisner we received about her grandmother, Esther. She said her eyes were closed, but she wasn't sleeping. She was calculating the exact proportions of the ingredients for 2,000 gefilte fish balls. That was our Anya, loving, fiercely intelligent, selfless, and independent. She was known to her loved one as Anya, and to many others simply as Mrs. Grunfeld. We called her Anya, which means mother in Hungarian, because when I was little, I thought that was her name. And eventually everyone called her Anya, and it stuck. She may have been a mother of three and grandmother of seven, but she mothered so many more, and she has left us very large slippers to fill. Eisner said. Born in Hungary in 1927, Grunfeld survived Auschwitz, where her mother and three younger half-sisters perished, before being liberated and marrying Desi in 1945, and they emigrated to Australia in 1960, and her restaurant, Eden in Bondi, became a kosher institution in Sydney, before her catering business would see her provide food to thousands of Simchas and Yom Tovs. Quite remarkable story that here was a woman who experienced such privations and yet had the strength and faith and good fortune to survive and flourish here, Central Synagogue's Rabbi David Friedman said.
Shane, before we go, very quickly, Malka Leifer was back in court in Melbourne last week.
That's right, in an April 9 committal mention, the Melbourne Magistrates Court heard 10 witnesses would be called to test evidence against Leifer. The magistrate said that, subject to COVID guidelines, physical in-court appearances were preferable, and given the complexity of the proceedings, they said that it was thought that that's probably going to be a more efficient way to run the matter. Leifer is scheduled to appear for another committal mention on July 30th, and with a 5-day committal proceedings set for September 13, the Jewish News understands that witnesses unable to participate on Yom Kippur, which will be on September 15th and 16th, will be questioned on other dates. I should mention that the, quote, home life of three of Malka Leifer's alleged victims might be probed as her lawyers seek to test evidence against her. It was revealed at this committal hearing. Of course, Malka Leifer was a Das Israel school principal, and at the time she was, she's now 54, but back she was extradited to Australia from Israel in January following a battle of more than 6 years, as she faces 74 charges relating to three alleged victims, Dasi Ehrlich, Nicole Meyer, and Ellie Sapper, during her time as principal between 2001 and 2008.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.